So on our Coach's Corner show, Lee Palmer with Big Sioux Media, and he is the voice online at Big Sioux Media of the Del Rapids Quarriors, joining us here ahead of the regular season finale in high school football for Class 11A. And it's just a whale of a game to close out the season, Madison and the Del Rapids Quarriors. Lee, you and I talked about this game back in early August, thinking that this was going to be a matchup of undefeated teams. It has almost come down that way, if not for one game at the beginning of the year. So let's talk about just a little bit the season for Del Rapids. And it did start off with a tough game against the surprise of 11A this year in Dakota Valley.
Yeah, Dakota Valley has really, truly been the surprise this year. You know, when I looked at it and kind of went through everybody's schedules, I figured Dakota Valley, 6-3, 7-2 type team. You know, they didn't get Madison on their schedule, which is a benefit to them. But that first week, you know, and I don't want to make excuses because Dakota Valley came out and did what they needed to do. But it was two big plays against a brand new secondary and a brand new linebacking crew that was still getting their feet under them. Not to mention early on in that game when Dell's lost a cornerback in Josh Heineman, and you wheel a kid off the cart off the field into an ambulance, that does something to a team. And that's what it really did. You could see it affected them. Dakota Valley came out. They ran that multiple shift offense. They're moving six guys at a time. Dells wasn't really ready for it. You know, they made some adjustments. But like I said, it was really – that game was a 7-0 game with two big plays. And not only that, but Dells came out. They had 13 penalties in that game and two turnovers. Now, we talked earlier tonight about their high school kids. You know, they make mistakes. And that's what happened to Dells. That 21-0 is really not indicative of what the Dells team is. 7-1 coming into tonight. When the schedule makers put this game together, they knew what they were doing to put it at the end of the year. Because for the most part, this has always been the first game of the year for...
Oh, it's been a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dells and Madison, first game of the year. And a couple of years, you know, at least 1 year then, playing in the Dome at the end of the year. And I think there's been a couple other playoff matchups other than that. So what's the – give us an idea of what we can expect to see for the Madison fans that haven't seen Del Rapids in the field. I think the first thing that for me that comes to mind, that's a big team over there.
It is, and it's big on both sides of the line, and there's big backs too. That offensive line is really the key offensively. You've got two guards on that are 240, 265, and they pull and they move. It's not like they're guards and they're going to go straight ahead. Can they go straight ahead? You bet. But there's, you also have two tackles that have no problem pulling. That Josh Chase, he's at 285, and they'll pull him. And when you get 285 coming out on a linebacker, that's a lot of beef coming at you. With that said, you look at the backs of this team. You go in and you look at a T team, for example, and they have a Slykhouse and a great back, and he can get outside and he can move. Dells has got two of them. When you look at both Spielman and Beaver, then you've got Nagelhout coming off an injury, who is as well as fast and can hit the hole as that. You want to bruise up the middle, you're going to give it to Matt Gologli. And Gologli at 200, 205 pounds, running against a big offensive line that can push, can do things. Then you bring in the zone read with Carson Rentz, and you run in a triple option. It makes things very difficult because you can't key on one guy when there's five or six backs coming out of there. It's no different than Madison. You can't just concentrate on, we're going to stop Giles from throwing the ball, because then the Yankee twins are going to beat you with their feet. You can't just concentrate on them. So when you look at the two offenses, the skilled positions I look at are AA1 about the same. Really, this game is going to be fought, and you say it in the high school, you say it in college, you say it in the pro, it's going to be fought. Who's going to beat up each other up front? The fact that Dells doesn't have to play anybody on the defensive or offensive line both ways is a huge plus because they're fresh. That defense.
That's both teams. And that is a big reason why teams like Madison and Dells are at the top tier. Those teams that have the depth to say, you know, we've only, you know, I think the Yankee boys are the only true two-way starters on the entire team for Madison. Teams that have figured out how to do that, if they've got the depth to do it, they win games in the third, fourth quarter.
Absolutely, because you're beating each other up. And now both these schools, it's different because you're not going to see that. You're going to see fresh bodies. I think it comes down to the same things. Who controls the offensive line? Which offensive line is going to beat the other defensive line? Who's going to minimize penalties? You know, I've seen this year, and I don't know about you, but I've seen this year a couple crews that have kind of taken over the game. Let's let the boys play. I hope they let them play. But then again, let's make sure that it's both ways. You know, if we're grabbing jerseys on one side, we're grabbing jerseys on the other, they're going to call it, they're going to call it. But I really like to – I don't want it to come down to a penalty here and a penalty there.
I'm just glad that the weather forecast says we're not going to have to deal with thunderstorms because we did that for the first 7 weeks of the season. And it'd be nice to – it is nice here. We're having really great weather leading into this this last game. Yeah, you mentioned penalties, by the way. I don't think Madison was averaging barely four penalties a game, but it's kind of reared its head here in the last couple weeks of the season. So I know something the coaching staff has got their eye on. And, you know, another thing that's fun to talk about is 11A, which is very competitive in terms of who's going to get in this 8-team playoff. And it has been up and down so much this season, and I think we've got a little bit of a beat on who those teams are. There's one game with Milbank and Tri-Valley that is a true, you know, win and you're in game, but everything is up in the air in terms of position 1 through 7.
Yeah.
We really don't know.
1 through 8, really, because
that's true. Yeah, with that 8th, yeah.
Because it really it's not Milbank, Tri-Valley comes in 8th, because I think if Tri-Valley comes in, they come in at 7
yep,
after the power points. If Milbank comes in, they come in at 8, just the way things work. You know, we talked about this, and, you know, I tried figuring it out today, and Athletic Director Jeff Dvorak at Del Rapids tried to figure it out, and we were kind of in a little bit of an argument about it. You're right. It's 1 through 8. Nobody's set. And that's going to be some key matchups coming on, too. I don't think Dakota Valley really wants to see Tri-Valley again after what happened the first time. I'm sure Tri-Valley wants to see Valley again. But I don't think Dakota Valley wants to see Tri-Valley again. I know Dells, you know, they control the clock against T, but when you've got somebody like a Slykhouse or you get somebody like Freeman in Tri-Valley, somebody that can take over a game, it's tough even for those first-round matchups. You don't know what you're going to get from Todd County. You don't know what you're going to get from Pine Ridge. St. Tommy Moore is the most Jekyll and Hyde team probably
in
this whole playoffs. They go and they get destroyed by a West Central team, which we talked about earlier today is no slouch. They could easily, you know, they're peaking at the wrong time.
West Central is, I mean, they're not a top-tier team this year, but they are 4 plays in any given game away from having 3 wins, 4 wins, as opposed to the 1.
And if they get the 4, I think they're in the playoffs because of
schedule. I think if they got to 3 with that strength of schedule, they'd probably be in. But you're right in that there are, you know, if Milbank makes it in, Milbank's a team that can spread you out and throw the football. You turn it over a couple of times early, they can go down the field. You know, they like to make big plays in the passing game. There are teams that aren't maybe to the caliber of the top three. This seems, you know, without me personally having seen Dakota Valley this season, I'll put them up there with Madison and Del Rapids. To me, it seems 3 teams really top-heavy. And then a bunch of teams there that, you're right, you don't know necessarily what to expect. But you know that if you start making mistakes, they can make you pay for those mistakes. Look at what West Central has done to basically every team they played where they've been in those games. Madison turns the ball over 4 times in the first quarter and is down 3 touchdowns. You know, these teams maybe aren't to that upper echelon of Madison, Dells, Dakota Valley. But if you make a mistake, they will make you pay. They're good enough to do that.
Tri-Valley's a perfect example. Yeah. Dells was down 21-7 in Tri-Valley off 2 interceptions.
Yeah.
They capital on both of them. It's 21-7, and Dell's defense shores things up. They stop them, but Tri-Valley had such a short field for 2 of those touchdowns because of interceptions. So it is. It's a turnover game. And when you're dealing with high school kids, you're dealing with a whole different ball game. You're dealing with a whole different mentality. But I can guarantee this game, Thursday night, the mentality is set because I know for a fact that the Dells boys have done it, and I'm almost positive the Madison boys have done it. When that schedule got released and they went, oh, game 9? Circle. Mm-hmm. And let's face it. You are looking at the 2 winners of the last 3 state championships playing in a game to determine if they're going to be 1, 2, or 3, and for some fluke, if Todd County beats St. Tommy Moore, and it might not be a fluke because I haven't seen either one of them.
Yeah, who knows?
You know, one of those teams could slip to 4.
Mm-hmm.
When you're playing this, it is a playoff atmosphere, and it's it's tough, I think, as a coach. I remember when I was coaching how tough it is when you come into this game because there's a good chance you're going to see each other round two. How much do you want to show your hand?
Yeah, that's a fair point.
But you also want to get that home field advantage all the way through. So where are you going to show? Where are you going to give? It's going to be really interesting between both coaches on how they're going to do that.
Yeah, that's a good point because as we've kind of, you know, you talk about doing as much math as you possibly can, trying to figure out how this is going to break down. It looks like it's, yeah, like you said, almost unavoidable that Madison and Del Rapids, should they win their quarterfinal games, see each other in the semifinals. Kind of regardless of how things turn out, it just seems locked into, you know, every scenario you come up with. So this game determines, really in the long run, where that semifinal game is played. Is it played in Dells or is it played in Madison? Who's the top seed there? Which is big, but you know that that game's coming up one way or another.
And it's big, but let's be real. It's not like it's, or we're going to play St. Tommy Moore and have to travel out there. We're 30 miles apart. Both teams travel very well. It's almost a home game for each team. And when it's the playoffs, you know, we've seen it before. West Central came here when Dells made it to the Dome that year. And it was a battle that night, too, even though Dells was at home. You know, Dells last year went down to T, traveled well. You know, home game for T. When you're both playing on natural turf and you're both playing on fields that have taken kind of a beating because of weather, I don't know if there is really a home field advantage to that.
I think both of us really like the fact, especially with Lebanon being so small, that it's down to eight teams. It's made this fun. You know, this last week of the season, especially this last day, seems to be really fun. In terms of reclassification, I mean, is there anything else that you'd like to see? Any other tweaks that you could see to the system the way it is right now?
You know, as I look at this, and I think back, Dells won the state title, and the year after, they missed the playoffs, but they peaked right before. They were the West Central of this year. You know, you can't go 9, you can't go 10, you can't go 12 because you can't do that playoff game because of the rules of playing that extra game and stuff like that. So this is the best scenario that they got. I think I got rid of, I don't want to call them the rubbish games, but I got rid of the 1-16 games. Now, 8-9, 7-10, those games would be competitive. Those games would be fun to watch, but where do you draw the line? And the state has done it right. I think, you know, you want to talk about reclassification. I think where they really need to look at it is in that 9-man because we're seeing blowout games in those first rounds. We're seeing teams travel all over the state. Maybe if you reclassify that, you kind of change, move up a couple teams from 11B and make a couple of those more. There's, you know, I look at a Sioux Valley. I look at a Bridgewater Emory who's only 2 years into 11-man football and is competing with 11A schools. Everybody's got an 11B game on there. Most of the 11As have won them, but Sioux Falls Christian came out last week.
They're competitive. Tri-Valley has proven it for a decade at 11B, that the top tier in 11B can compete with anybody.
And so why aren't the top Bs in 11A? And then let's go back to 16. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I think that you can move a couple of the 9AAs or maybe a couple co-ops or whatever like that, but until they decide to get away from three classes in 9-man football, we won't see that.
Before we let you go, want to make any bold score predictions for Thursday night?
We'll go 28-27.
Okay.
It'll be a one-point game.
You know what? I think you're in the right neighborhood because I think it is going to be more lower scoring than maybe, you know, I could even see it going lower than that because I think it's going to be a time of possession, control, the football kind of game. I think it's going to be different than certainly Madison has seen in a game this year.
And I think, you know, Dell showed that they can control the ball when they were down at T. I do not think this is more than a one-touchdown game at all.
Absolutely.
I would be shocked. If it is, it's because one of the two teams mentally collapsed with turnovers and penalties.
Appreciate you coming on here, and should be a beautiful night for football. We'll see you at Trojan Field on Thursday.
All right, sounds great.
And that was Lee Palmer of Big Sioux Media speaking with our own Matt Gross about the 11A football playoffs and also the Madison versus Del Rapids matchup tomorrow night from Trojan Field in Madison. That game will be right here on Dakota's Best AM 1390. 7 p.m. kickoff. We'll bring in the pregame show. Start about 6:40 as well on AM 1390. We're going to take another break. When we come back, we're going to have both our guests in studio, DSU head football coach Josh Anderson and Trojan Athletic Club president Casey Crabtree in studio. This is Coach's Corner, live from the KJM studios in downtown Madison on Dakota's Best Classic Hits, KJAM.